speaker this morning is Glenna Ampersand. And Glenna is a licensed clinical social worker and an internationally certified prevention specialist. She's the senior program manager for Christiana Care Health System's 15 school-based health centers and the clinical supervisor for the mental health providers. A graduate of the University of Pittsburgh, Glenna has worked in the mental health field for more than two decades in a variety of settings. She also enjoys being an adjunct professor at Cecil College. And this morning, Glenna will be presenting Using the Teen as Coach Model in the Delivery of Mental, Nutritional, and Cardiovascular Health Messages to an At-Risk Minority Adult Population. Join me in welcoming Glenna.
Good morning, everyone. I am excited to share with you some of the things that we've been doing in Delaware, especially in the Teen as Coach Model. And behind any great program is strong, well, first of all, I want to disclose, I have nothing to disclose, no personal relationships to disclose. And as I was saying, behind any great program is strong, a strong team. And here's a list of my colleagues that I work with who have helped develop the program, get it up and running, and a lot of them are with us today here in the audience. And a great way to build momentum, especially when you're working in the community to build success, you have to have strong community partnerships. And so I just wanted to acknowledge Christiana Care Health System, especially. We received funding from AstraZeneca Foundation, so I wanted to acknowledge them, and the Christina, Colonial, and Newcastle County VOTEC school districts, which we do our program in, which I'll share with you in a little bit. And just to give you some background of the need, one of the things is that many of us in our department, we work with adolescents. And, you know, when working with adolescents, you see a lot of the risks that they have. And so we tried to, there's many risks, we tried to narrow them down. And so when we looked at three different areas, the area of cardiovascular disease, one of the things is, you know, the teens are at risk, especially if it's in their families. And a lot of times they don't know about the disease. They don't know, you know, there's a perception that it might be a male-only disease when we know that that's not true. It's the number one killer of men and women. And so just really that's a need to educate them on that risk that they have. And the area of mental health, I mean, there's a lot of stigma and discrimination with mental illness. And so that can create low self-esteem. It can create social isolation, social exclusion. And that also can prevent the teens from and the families from seeking treatment in the community. And when you look at nutrition, I mean, let's face it, they're teens. It's hard enough to get them to eat a healthy, balanced, well-balanced meal. But how much harder is that when their corner store might not have a fresh produce stand, or if they don't have enough money for one meal, let alone three healthy, well-balanced ones? So those are the areas that we wanted to look at. And it was a puzzle. You know, we had all the pieces, and so, you know, the thing is that how do you get teens to understand that, first of all, it's important. Like, total wellness is important. How do you get them to understand that? How do you educate them? How do you give them the tools that's needed? And then even when you're thinking about, you know, they're not confident or maybe they don't know where to start, how do you give them the confidence to do those things? That was one of them. And, you know, at the end of the day, again, they're teens. And teens are fighting for their independence. And, you know, they want to get away from adults. But here we were talking about bringing them together with the adults and working together as a team, you know. And teens and adults don't always speak the same language. I mean, there's books out there about translating teen language, you know. So there's not always that same line of communication. But here we are wanting to use the teens as teachers. And so, you know, it could sound crazy, right, that this is something that we wanted to do. But those are the pieces that we had to work with. And, you know, so when we started putting it together, Christiana Care received funding from a grant from AstraZeneca Foundation. And those of you who work in the community know that funding is a huge piece of the puzzle. So we had a huge piece of our puzzle. And we received funding for 3 years to develop and execute a cardiovascular disease prevention program for teens. And so that was exciting. And then we partnered with our school-based health centers. Christiana Care operates 15 school-based health centers. And so we were able to use and pilot the program in a couple of those centers. And then also we had the challenge of developing a multidisciplinary curriculum. You know, there's different areas that we're looking at, so we had to bring together our registered dietitians and our mental health providers and our health educators to make sure that we were hitting all of the areas that we want to that were at risk. And as a result, our big picture, our program that we used, the No Heart Left Behind program, was the result of that. And so what No Heart Left Behind does, it empowers their teens to take their messages to their families. A lot of times, families are closed off. They don't want outsiders in coming in telling them what to do. So what better way than to have, you know, someone in-house, literally in-house, their teen, helping them, teaching them working together to move forward and to learn the messages that cardiovascular disease, mental health, and nutritional services have to offer. And so with our program, the teens participate in an 8-week group session, and we bounce off 1 week. The mental health provider would provide a lesson. The next week, the registered dietitian would. And through the curriculum, we would talk about talking points. We would teach the teens the lesson and then even give them talking points of how to start the conversation with their families, how to hold each other accountable. And, you know, and then the adults got to participate in some evening educational events, whether it be a mock grocery store tour, yoga. You know, there's a lot of fun things, stress management that we did. And the curriculum incorporates some cognitive behavior techniques that the teens can help and learn from the emotional point of view. There's nutritional education, learn how much sugar is in beverages, learn how to read labels, taught them exercises, how to use resistance bands, yoga. So there's a lot of fun things that we had to do that we allowed the adults to learn as well. And then the teens' knowledge, we were able to assess that by pre- and post-surveys. And also the qualitative data that was collected, we did via focus groups, and so that was fun as well to hear. So piecing it together, and so you can see our big picture. Year one, we had the funding back in January 2012, and that was our time to really get up and running. So we engaged the parents, we engaged the teams, we started the groups. The parents, when they came in for their first meeting, they were able to know their numbers. We felt it was important for them to know what's their cholesterol, what's their BMI, what's their blood pressure. So we made sure we provided those free screenings for them as well. And along within the schools, we also utilized this program in our summer camp called Camp Fresh that we were able to, you know, see how different students, because that was a younger age, so try to get those parents involved as well, and that was a lot of fun. And then we learned the lesson. You know, we evaluated what we did for the year, what worked, what didn't, what was engaging, what was not, and so we figured out a way how to tweak that. And so in year two, we continued to develop in the 4 schools, and then we tweaked whether it was the curriculum, our activities, our evening events. We figured out were the screenings working, were they not, were we trying to gather more information and what other things that we needed to receive. And we also got a third year of funding, which was, you know, we were very grateful for that. And so in year three, we expanded. We expanded to 7 schools, and we continued to use what we learned from year 1, 2, and 3, and we implement that in the schools. We continued to do what was worked, and one of the important things is that we began working on a plan for sustainability, especially when the funding comes to an end. We want to make sure this important program continues. And so the exciting thing is that No Heart Left Behind, we've reached over 5,000 adults and teen coaches through the outreach events, through the educational programs, through our in-house curriculum. And then we tracked more than 600 adults over the 3 years and teens through our groups. And one of the exciting statistics is 96% of the teens and adults who participated, they showed that they had an increased knowledge of cardiovascular disease. And the teens themselves reported their average servings of vegetables, they increased. They're eating vegetables. Woohoo! And another huge one is, you know, teens love fast food. It's quick, it's easy, it's cheap. But through this program, they started eating less and less outside of the home and learned that inside of the home was a better, healthier choice. So that was exciting. Our adults, they increased their fruit intake by 20%. The adults increased their vegetable intake by 10%. And a lot of them self-reported they're exercising more, they're getting out, they're learning new ways. It's fun, it's exciting. And they can see it's easy. It's things that they can do at home. It doesn't always have to be out in the gym, especially if you can't afford a gym membership. We made sure that we provided a lot of in-home things or things in their neighborhood, realistic things that they could continue to do after the program ended. And, you know, teens are always carrying around different power drinks and iced teas and all that, but that decreased. And we learned, they learned how to decrease their sugar-sweetened drinks and come up with new ways that they actually like. And then also our teen coaches felt like it was a lot of fun. We got to see them get excited that, wow, I can do this. I can make a difference. Adults listen to me, and I'm making a difference. And then that increased their excitement to go out and become leaders in the public health area. So that's exciting that we're raising up a new generation in that area. And so a better way to know what you're doing then is to hear directly from those who you're serving. And so some of this quotes from our adults were that we are more aware of what we put in our body and learn from yoga how to breathe with relaxation. Another one of our participants said is that we realize making food at home more often is better than eating fast food. We are preparing food together as a family. And that was one of the things that we enjoyed seeing is just the family together, working together, bouncing off ideas. They're both getting excited about it. And that was a lot of fun to see and just hear the different ideas that they had. And then another participant said, I am more aware of how I deal with stress and what I eat as a result of No Heart Left Behind. So that was rewarding for us. So that was our program. We got it started. We've had successes. We demonstrated success of being able to develop a community-based program that targeted teens. And when creating the cardiovascular prevention program, we created a student as coach model to help deliver the message. So we had the teens going out and doing that. And we were able to focus on educating an underserved population. And this is the part I love the most, because you teach the teen, and then you can see them teaching the family member, which is a bigger population. And then their family member, you know, if they go to work, they're sharing with their coworker. If they go to church, they're sharing with their members. They go just down the street, they're talking about it, sharing it. And you can start to see how that, the attitude, and how it could spread the message to the community as a whole. And people can say, well, tell me more about that, or I want to try that, or can I join in? And you can see how it's really starting to affect the community, which is very, very exciting to see that impact. But we're not done. I mean, we still have different things that we want to do. We want to figure out even more ways. How are we going to reach more teens? And how can we incorporate social media? Or how can we engage adults even more? You know, how can we make it more exciting? How can we get them to bring others with them? And just even figuring out a tool that we can use to screen for the teens and so that we could get more pre and post data and to very, very much to be able to make sure that we're continuing to meet their needs and decrease their risk. And we're going to hold off questions until near the end, until after we all speak, so you could think of some of the questions you may have. But I also wanted to leave you, if after today your questions aren't answered or you think of something on the way home and you want to know more information about, I left up there my contact information as well as my colleague, Christopher Moore. He heads up the No Heart Left Behind program. And so either one of us would be happy to answer any additional questions that you have that you think of later at this time. Thank you.